everyone, and welcome to our podcast. Today we're going to be talking to y'all a little bit about the different kinds of cattle breeds and some of their pros and cons. So starting us off, we have Cameron Bond. She is from Burns Flat, Oklahoma. She's currently studying agricultural communications at OSU, and today she's going to talk about the pros and cons of Hereford cattle. Next, we have Jo Ellen Wall. She is from Templeton, California, and she is currently majoring in agribusiness at OSU, and she's going to tell us a little bit about some of the pros and cons of shorthorn cattle. And after that, you have me. My name is Esther Ford. I'm from Stillwater, Oklahoma. I'm currently studying agricultural education with a focus on animal science, and I'll be telling y'all a little bit about some of the pros and cons of Brahman cattle. And finally, rounding us out, we have Ellie Fly from Dalhart, Texas. She is dual majoring in agribusiness and agricultural communications here at OSU, and she'll be wrapping up our podcast with some of the pros and cons of Angus cattle. So without further ado, Cameron is going to start us off by talking about Hereford cattle.
Hi guys, I'm Cameron Bond, and today I'm going to be speaking about Hereford cattle. I'm just going to cover a few of the basics like origin, appearance characteristics, health, prices, and then I'm going to throw in a few fun facts about Herefords in the United States. So going back to origin, Herefords get their name from where they were bred and created, which is Herefordshire, England. They have records back to the mid-1700s of Herefords, but there are some cattlemen around the region that believe that Herefords were around in the 1600s. So depending on if you want to go by the records or if you want to go by cattlemen, it's going to be the 1600s to 1700s. So most of the Hereford breed was exported from England in the mid-1800s due to limitations of beef production and limited grassland. Basically, they were overproducing Herefords in England, so they decided to export them, and also there was limited grassland due to the overproduction of them. These animals were shipped out to all places of the globe, including Russia, where there is Arctic snow, and Africa, where there is extreme heat. So these animals can tolerate a vast difference in temperatures, which is very interesting. Some appearance characteristics of a Hereford are their white and red roan coloring that they are known for. If you see a Hereford, you know, if you know their coloring, you can just pick them out and understand that it is a Hereford that you're looking at. So they're known for their white and red roan coloring with a white face, crest, and underlie, as well as flanks and markings below the knees and hocks that are white. That roan coloring is very interesting. It makes for, you know, not only beautiful cattle, but as well as beautiful hides that you can use for a multitude of things, including, you know, cowhide rugs and shoes and purses and stuff along those lines. Beautiful, beautiful hides. They're also very muscular, and they range from moderate to long in length, so they're pretty good for show cattle as well. These animals, specifically the Herefords, can weigh some great pounds. Mature males can weigh up to 1,800 pounds, and females can weigh up to 1,200 pounds. So that's pretty big for cattle. Some things to know about pricing when it comes to Herefords are they are known for longevity. So these animals, depending on what you're going to do with them, they will last you a good amount of years. Females can live and produce calves beyond 15 years, and males are able to remain profitable for at least 12 years. So that's, you know, that's quite a long time for cattle to be remaining profitable, depending on what you're using them for. They are well developed in valuable regions of cuts. Like I said, they are very muscular and long in length, so they have very valuable cuts like the back loin and the hind quarters. So when thinking about producing cattle for meat reasons, for, you know, depending on how you're going to process them, that's something to keep in mind, that they are very well developed in those regions of valuable cuts. So the long-term price difference in between different breeds of cattle is quite amazing, but long-term price difference in between feeding a Hereford and feeding a Black Angus is around $20 every 5 years. So it's going to be cheaper, $20 cheaper to feed a Hereford for around 5 years than it is going to be to feed a Black Angus. And then a Red Angus, it's going to be about $20 cheaper to feed a Hereford over a Red Angus. So those are two pretty popular breeds, but it is cheaper to feed a Hereford, depending on, again, your production. Might just keep that in mind. Some fun facts about Herefords here in the U.S. is that by 1960, the American Hereford Association, or the AHA, had a total of 10 million head registered. And by 2000, the AHA membership had grown by more than 4,000 family ranches. In 2013, a Hereford bull named C. Miles McKee set the world record for a single cattle sale at $600,000, which is quite a lot for cattle. The National Junior Hereford Association is something that young cattlemen and cattlewomen can get involved in, but they have more than 3,800 activity members with lots of activities, including shows and other events, as well as scholarships once they get into their later years of high school. So all of my information that I just spoke on, there will be sites that you will have access to that will lead you into the articles that I spoke about. And I hope you learned something new about Hereford cattle. Joella Wallen will speak on shorthorns next.
Hi everyone, my name is Joellen Wall, and I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about shorthorn cattle and where they originated from and some advantages and disadvantages of the breed. First off, shorthorn cattle have a long and interesting history in the United States, despite the fact that they actually originated from the northern eastern coast of England. And when they were first developed in England, they did not carry the name Shorthorn. The breed actually obtained two different names before being named Shorthorn. They developed in the Tees River, which is located in England, so therefore they were called the Tees Water cattle. After about 138 years, the breed began to migrate first to Scotland and then into the United States, and more specifically into Virginia, and here it was where they were called Durham cattle. And it wasn't until about the 1800s that the breed name was changed to American Shorthorn, which now leads me into talking about some of the advantages. Shorthorn cattle have a lot of different advantages, but their main advantage was milk and beef production, and that was a big necessity for pioneer life, which made this requirement shorthorn an ideal breed, since that is what they are known for. Shorthorn cattle can also live longer than most other cattle breeds, which helps out the farmers who produce shorthorn cattle because there is no replacement cost. Along with that, shorthorn cattle can calve up to 15 times in a lifetime, and with good quality calves, they weigh around 85 pounds at birth, which promotes higher potential for growth, which is super important in the cattle industry. Another advantage of the shorthorn cross is that steers that are produced have an excellent rate of gain, meaning on a day-to-day basis, they don't change the average weight of gain that they are gaining. So even on a low feed diet, meaning they are not being fed as much, they still will gain, let's say, 3 pounds a day. This can lead to an increased marbling and tenderness, and that is super important when you are in the beef industry. So lastly, this allows farmers and ranchers to spend less when feeding their herd, which is also equally as important. Moving on into my disadvantages, the main disadvantage of this breed is that they do carry some genetic diseases. These cattle are beneficial, but they may have chances of some genetic diseases. The genetic disease that they carry is some deformalities in their legs, skulls, joints, and abdomens. And unfortunately, this disease can lead to death or can be very fatal. The main sign for this disease is found at a young age. Calves with this genetic disease are unable to suckle, and that is how you'll be able to tell if they are produced with this disease, unfortunately. Lastly, Shorthorn cattle are known to have a mild temperament, but with that, they are strongly built. Their characteristics are phenomenal, and you see Shorthorn cattle in show rings. They are very popular, obviously, for milk and beef production, and American Shorthorns have proven to be such a valuable breed, both historically and in modern-day ranching. And I hope that you thoroughly enjoyed my segment about Shorthorn cattle. I love doing the research for it. And with that, I now introduce Esther Ford talking about Brahman cattle.
Thanks, Joellen. Hi, guys. My name is Esther Ford, and today I'm going to talk a little bit about the origin of Brahman cattle, their appearance, and a few other ins and outs of this breed. So the Brahman breed can also be called Brahma cattle. There's quite a bit of controversy about how to pronounce this, but really they mean the same thing and only change really depending on where you come from. According to the cattle website, they originated from Bos Indicus cattle from India, where they are also known as the sacred cattle of India. A few of the best qualities about this breed is that over time, through centuries of exposure to inadequate food supplies, insect pests, parasites, diseases, and weather extremes of tropical India, the native cattle developed some remarkable adaptations for survival, which cattle producers in the USA have found extremely useful. There were three principal strands of Indian cattle that were brought to the United States and used in the development of this Brahman breed. They're known as the Jersey, the Nellore, and the Jer. One of the best things about the Brahman breed is that it makes incredible crosses with so many different other breeds. The cattle website tells us that the Brahman's use in crossbreeding has become a great tool for the production of steers for various purposes, and its meat is highly appreciated in the five continents. The most popular crosses made with the Brahman breed are the Brangus, which is the cross between an Angus and a Brahman, the Brawford, which is the cross between a Hereford and a Brahman, the Simbra, which is the cross between a Simmental and a Brahman, the Charbra, which is the cross between a Charolais and a Brahman, and finally the Beefmaster, which is the cross between a Hereford and Shorthorn cow with a Brahman bull. These crosses are so versatile mainly for the reason that the calves produced tend to inherit the Brahman's longevity, intelligence, and they are typically able to withstand harsher heat. Brahman cattle are characterized and recognizable for this really big hump over the top of their shoulder and neck. This breed varies in a lot of color, and they can range anywhere from very light gray or red to almost black, but the majority of the breed are light to medium gray. The mature bulls do tend to be a little bit darker than the mature cows, but all of them have a short, thick, glossy hair which reflects much of the sun rays, and the black pigmented skin that makes it possible for them to graze in the midday sun without really suffering from all the heat. So besides their large hump on their shoulders, the second most obvious characteristic that they have is their abundance of loose skin, which is also thought to contribute to their ability to withstand the extreme heat because it increases their body surface area that is exposed to cooling. Brahman cattle in general do tend to be a larger breed than most European breeds. The bulls can generally weigh anywhere from 1,600 to 2,200 pounds, and the cows can weigh anywhere from 1,000 to 1,400 pounds. The calves in themselves, they're pretty small at birth, but they do tend to grow really rapidly and they mature extremely quickly. Because of their size, most people are nervous about this breed because they assume they are aggressive. And as I said before, Brahmins are extremely intelligent and they also tend to be inquisitive and shy. The cattle website suggests that Brahmas like affection and become very docile. They quickly respond to the handling they receive, whether that's good or bad. Well-bred, wisely selected, and properly treated Brahmins are as easily handled as other breeds. So really, depending on the way they're handled, they can either be aggressive or docile. Brahmas also make excellent mothers who tend to protect and care for their calves, not to mention they produce great quality milk for their young. Over the years, Brahmins have developed a reputation for a high dressing percentage, and their carcasses have a very good cutout value with minimum outside fat. According to the BR Cutter Incorporated, Brahmin cattle are long-living cattle that typically live up to anywhere between 15 to 20 years. Their longevity is one of the reasons that people like the Brahmin cattle so much. Because cattle that are tough and sound enough to live longer mean they can produce more calves and thus more profit for the ranchers themselves. Overall, the Brahmin breed is typically known for their quick growth, early finish, abundant muscle, sexual precocity, regular calving ease, and their tameness. I really hope y'all enjoyed learning a little bit about the Brahmin breed as much as I really enjoy doing the research. Thank you so much for listening, but stay tuned because next up we have Ellie Fly and she's going to be giving us a little bit of insight about the Angus breeds.
Hello, my name is Ellie Fly. I am a freshman at Oklahoma State University receiving dual degrees. I will get a bachelor's in agribusiness with a minor in farm and ranch management, as well as a bachelor's in agricultural communications. I am from a very small town in the Texas Panhandle called Dalhart, Texas. And today I'm going to be talking to you about Angus beef cattle. So if you've been following along, you know that we have been doing an overview of different breeds of cattle. And so today I will be talking about Angus. My family actually has Angus beef cattle. We have a ranch in Texas and a ranch in New Mexico where we breed and raise Red Angus in a cow-calf operation, and we also have some Black Angus yearlings that we raise as well. So, based off of that, you might know that there are two main types of Angus, and there are some differences between the two, but today we are mostly going to focus on Angus as a whole. So, for the origin of Angus, they are part of your British breeds, such as that includes your Herefords, your Shorthorns, and your Anguses. And so it is recorded that Anguses, both red and black, were brought over to America in the time period from the late 1700s to the late 1800s, and they rapidly gained popularity. In fact, Black Angus is the most common cattle breed in the U.S. with more than 330,000 head registered. And Red Angus is another very popular breed in America with the census in 2008 finding 47,000 registered Red Angus cattle. So whenever it comes to the appearance, black is a dominant trait. So just because you see a black calf does not necessarily mean that it's a purebred Angus. But when it comes to the red Angus, red is a recessive trait, meaning if you see a calf with that rich red color, there is an extremely high chance that that is a purebred red Angus calf. Now, it is not uncommon for Angus to be crossbred with Hereford, and in this scenario, both red and black Angus can have small color variations with touches of white on their face, giving them what producers called baldy or motley faces. And when it comes to size, red and black Angus weigh about the same, with males being around 1,800 pounds and females weighing in at about 1,200 pounds. Now, depending on the breeding, the birth weight for Angus is typically just under 80 pounds. Now, as Cameron said in her section about Herefords, it is about $20 cheaper for every 5 years to feed Herefords as opposed to Angus beef. But, in my opinion, if you are utilizing the animals for beef production, then it is well worth it because of the way that consumers trust and look to purchase Angus beef. Now, both black and red Angus produce a very quality carcass that is famous for its marbling and excellent flavor. But if you are deciding between the two, red and black, you may want to consider that red Angus cows are known for being incredible mothers to their calves, and red Angus can also handle hot temperatures better than black Angus. And that concludes my segment on the Angus breed of cattle. I hope you have all enjoyed listening, and a big thank you to all of those who have listened along throughout this series. Esther, Cameron, Joellen, and I have had a great time working together on this, and hope that all of you listeners are feeling a little bit more educated, informed, or equipped as either a producer or a consumer. We thank you all very much for your support. And of course, if you ever have any questions or would like to chat, we would love to hear from you. So don't be scared to reach out. Thank you all so much for your time, and you have a great day.